Now, just I tried to get her to speak today.
No. I'm not going to speak. I would cry through the whole thing. But I am going to say Happy Mother's Day and to read you a story of one lady's experience on her Mother's Day. It's entitled, To Be Six Again. A man was sitting on the edge of the bed, observing his wife, looking at herself in the mirror. Since Mother's Day was not far off, he asked her what she would like to have. I'd like to be six again, she replied, still looking in the mirror. The husband shared this with the kids, and they immediately began planning the big day celebration. On the morning of Mother's Day, they arose early, made her a nice bowl of Lucky Charms, and then took her to Six Flags, the theme park. What a day they had. They put her on every ride in the park, every roller coaster, every wall of fear, everything there was. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling and her stomach felt upside down. Then they took her to McDonald's, where they ordered her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a chocolate shake. Oh, and the day wasn't over. Then they went to the movies. They ordered popcorn, soda pop, and her favorite candy, M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home, collapsed into bed exhausted. Her husband leaned over to his wife with a big smile and lovingly asked, "Well, dear, was this the Mother's Day you hoped for?" Not understanding what her husband meant, he went on to explain that he had asked that he and the kids had planned her entire day out so she could be six again. Her eyes slowly opened, and her expression suddenly changed. I meant my dress size. You moms understand. So on this Mother's Day, whether you hope to be 6 years old again, or you hope to be a size six again, or you'd just rather take a walk through the garden, hope you make the choice to choose joy. Happy Mother's Day.
I'm glad my rookie season is over. I know enough to not say a word about that, right? Well, I hope moms are choosing joy today. Hey, we want to talk about joy. I have joy with me today. And this joy lights up. And I believe that today the Lord wants to light your joy. How does that sound? Before you leave here today, you can be full of well-lit joy. Well, mothers. Mothers are often the ones who give us the most joy in life. Anybody here because it's Mother's Day? Pastor Ricky referenced earlier, your mom's dragged you here. Who's willing to confess that one? All right, now I do see some faces I don't always see, so I have to think maybe that's the case here today. I know my mother is in town, was hoping she was going to be able to make it this morning, and I was going to say my mom dragged me to church today. But some of you know, my stepfather has Parkinson's, so he's a little seized up this morning, not able to get out, so they were unable to make it this morning, but I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad I hear. But mothers, as we just said, are often the ones who bring us the most joy in our lives, aren't they? They are also many times more concerned about their children's joy than they are their own joy. It just seems that is the way that God has made and wired moms, isn't it? And the thanks that they too often get in return is the grief we give them. Come on, moms. Your children never cause you any grief. Oh, the joys of motherhood. I think that the one comment that I remember the most from my growing up years is pushing my mother to her limits and saying, I've had it up to here with you, right? Of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, I've got this much left. I mean, can you imagine that? I'm an angel. Why are some of you... Don't you see my halo? Yeah? But it's my horns that hold it up, right? That might be what my mom would say in the growing up years. I'm just glad she still loves me. But all the joys of motherhood, they bring us joy. We often give them grief. And I know that in our family, that it's my children's mother who brings great joy to their lives. They have much more joy in life because of the opportunities that Melissa creates for them. See, I fall in the fun, challenged, and boring category. So I would never leave the house. I'm content at home. All right, go outside, pick up sticks. Did you clean your room? Is your teeth brushed? Have you fed your fish? All right, pick up after your spot at the table. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you washed the dishes yet? You can do your laundry. You know what I'm saying? But because of Melissa, she gives us opportunity to get us out of the house, and our children have been able to experience a lot more of the joys of life because, like I said, of the opportunities that their mom creates for them. I'm sorry that I'm boring, right? The world needs boring people too, fun challenge people too, right? But listen, moms, today on your special day, I want you to know that your heavenly Father is concerned about your joy. I want you to know God loves you today, moms. Now, there's men here too, and there's children, so this message is for everybody, but moms are the star of the show today, right? And I want you to know, moms, along with everyone else, that your heavenly Father is concerned about your joy today and in your life. You know, the scripture has a lot to say about joy. But today we're going to look at just three things in regards to joy. Number one, I want to talk to you about the persistence of joy. Famous verse of scripture, many, if not most, or all of you know this verse, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, and then it's rejoice with an exclamation point. This is the Apostle Paul writing the book of Philippians, or the letter to the Philippians. I like the way the New Living Translation puts this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, this way, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice, he says. Now, this is a great verse. We all, or most of us, know it, but it's that word always in there. Always rejoice, always be full of joy. It's the word always that makes this seem like a daunting task. See, this is one of the more famous verses in Scripture, but when you hold it up against real life, we sometimes want to skip over, thinking that always being full of joy in the Lord is just impossible to achieve. I think the real reason this happens is because we confuse happiness with joy. See, happiness is a feeling, but joy is so much more than a feeling. The joy that Paul speaks of, it's not a happiness that depends on circumstances, but it's a deep contentment, as this verse says, in the Lord. It's a deep contentment in the Lord, and it's based on trust. And not trust in anything or anyone. It's based on trust in the living and sovereign God. Therefore, it is available always. Even in difficult times. Let's keep in mind that Paul wasn't exactly sailing the high seas on a cruise ship when he wrote these words. He was bound in prison. And he was waiting to see if he was going to be executed or allowed to live. Yet he's able to write, rejoice, or be full of the joy of the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. See, joy is not just a feeling. No, it's an attitude. And it's an action that you have control over. Listen, you cannot command a feeling. You cannot command a feeling, but you can command a thought. What scriptures say? Take every thought, make it obedient to Christ. You can command that thought. You can command an action, not a feeling, but a thought and an action. You can, and you can be persistent about your thoughts. You can be persistent about your commands. And the more you persist, the more you're going to find the constants of joy in your life. The more you persist, the more you will find the constants of joy, and oh my, persist you must. Have you noticed along with me that joy does not come to you in the midst of most of life? You have to go after it. Have you ever noticed you don't walk down the street or take a walk through a trail and joy just jumps out from behind the tree and attacks you and makes you joyful in your life? Am I the only one that's noticed this in life? Joy doesn't just come to us, does it? No, we have to persist and go after joy. The persistence of joy is possible, though, because of the consistency of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the persistence of joy is possible because of the consistency of God. So that's the persistence of joy. Maybe a better way to define that would have been the persistence for joy. But here's the second thing I believe the Lord would show us today. The place. The place of joy. Psalm chapter 43, verse 4 says, therefore I will. It's an act of the will, isn't it? He says, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of my joy. Now, it's interesting because this psalm here, Psalm 43, has the same backdrop that the Apostle Paul wrote Philippians out of. Now, let's be honest. We referenced Paul a moment ago. Let's be honest. Being in prison, waiting to see if you're going to live or die, is not exactly a desirable position to be in. How many wish you were in prison this morning, waiting to see if you're going to be executed or allowed to live? Really? No one. I'm amazed that you would rather be here than in prison to see if the emperor was going to kill you. No, that's not a desirable position to be in. You might be here this morning and there's something going on in your life. It could be spiritually, emotionally, it could be physically, it could be in your family, it could be with your finances, it could be one of any number of different things, and it's not a desirable position for you. Maybe you would say, my position is no more desirable than the Apostle Paul's was in. Or that the writer of Psalm 43 was in. See, we're reading from Psalm 43. Did you know that Psalm 43 is a psalm of lament? It's a psalm of lament. Actually, in verse 2, the psalmist we see here, he's feeling rejected. Have you ever felt rejected by someone? Have you ever felt rejected by God? And he is feeling this rejection in his heart and in his soul. Not only is he feeling rejected, he is in deep, deep mourning because of the oppression that his life is in. The psalmist in Psalm 43 is in a very dark and confusing place in life. Now, we read verse 4, but if you were to back up to the verse before it, in verse 3, we see he's crying out to God, God, send light. Send light, please, and send your faithfulness to lead me. What he's saying is, I'm in a dark and confusing place, and I feel rejected by you and oppressed by others, and I just feel like I'm wandering in darkness aimlessly. God, send your light and send your faithfulness to lead me. And then we see his request get even more specific. See, he's not praying. He's not requesting just a leading away from something or away from some place, but a leading to a specific place. What are we talking about? The place of joy. You see, if you read the verses leading up to verse 4, he's saying, God, lead me to your holy mountain. You can read it for yourself in Psalm 43. God, take me to your holy mountain, to the place where God dwells. And now is when he writes verse 4 that we see on the screen. God, lead me to your holy mountain, the place that you would dwell. And in verse 4, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. What does that say? Joy has a source. It's not the fountain of youth. It's God, isn't it? And now it is at this moment that the psalmist becomes even more specific. Not just God's holy mountain. Listen, a mountain can be huge, right? A mountain can be a very big place, cover a lot of territory. So not just the general place of God's dwelling does the psalmist cry out and determine to go. No, he says, I will go to the altar of God. Not just any altar. Not a pagan altar, not an altar of the world, but I will go to the altar of God. And it is here that I think we can clear some confusion. And it's here we can see why so many Christians, why even so many people in the church do not have genuine joy in their hearts. They don't have genuine joy in their lives. You see, many perceive joy as something they can only gain by taking in. But the psalmist here says he's going to the altar of God. And then he even includes in there the source of all my joy. See, if you were to study altars in Scripture, you would find that altars are a place of sacrifice. Altars are a place of not taking in, but pouring out. Altars are a place of remembrance where there was a divine meeting with God and something great happened in that meeting, a place. Altars are a place of prayer in Scripture. The ultimate altar is where we find the ultimate sacrifice. The cross of Calvary where God sacrificed his Son for us. One of my favorite songs is by an author named Brian Dorkinson, At the Cross. Now, there's an older version. Who remembers the hymn? We used to sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my, is it heart or soul, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Okay, so there's that one, but there's a newer version, not of the same song, but a newer title, At the Cross. And I love the words in this song too, because he writes in this song and it says, I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace. And then it goes into the chorus, at the cross, at the cross. I know a place where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, and it's the same place where the oppressed and the downtrodden can find joy. Now, maybe you don't feel particularly joyful today, and if you're basing your experience of joy on the presence of upbeat feelings, you can quickly forget there is a place where God is still the powerful and faithful God that he has always been. You see, if you really hear what's going on today, it's God's truth diffuses this idea, I can only find and experience joy in happiness. I can only know true joy when everything is going good in life. No. If you understand Paul's situation, writing in prison about the joy of the Lord, and this psalmist writing out of a deep lament in an incredibly dark and difficult time in his life, there's almost an indication here that you are only going to find true and genuine joy out of suffering more than you will in happiness. You see, you and I have a tendency, we are a lot less likely to go to the place of the altar of God in our happiness. But in our suffering, we'll go. You will find that it's only in the difficult times is there something greater that can sustain you, something greater than the difficult situations of your life. And it has nothing to do with happiness, but it has everything to do with God's joy. So the question is, do you persist and keep going to that place, to the altar of God, to the place of prayer? I'm going to give you just one more today. Might let you out earlier so you moms can go spend the rest of the day with your families. The precepts of joy. We have the persistence of joy, the place of joy, now the precepts of joy. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right." So if you have any confusion on what's right or wrong today, here's a good place to start. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And then I'm going to throw in as a free bonus today, since it's Mother's Day, the rest of the verse says this, "The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Now, the term precepts here, the precepts of the Lord are right, actually is a term of the law, the first five books of the Bible, the law of Moses or the Pentateuch, who knows them? We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which a lot of people get the onomy backwards and say omni, Deuteronomy, right? That's Deuteronomy. Not omni. But for those of you that aren't that perceptive, it sounds the same to you. Doesn't matter anyhow, right? So the term precepts, it comes from God's covenant law back in the first five books of the Bible. And you see, in the Bible, the term precept is synonymous with, it's even interchangeable with terms like law, commands, testimony, rules. Oh, we don't like laws and rules, do we? But I think with this in mind, it helps us to understand that true joy is not found in something fleeting that's fleeting, but in God and His Word, which are fixed and immovable and eternal. What does it say elsewhere in Scripture? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God is forever. So what we see here is that the joy that we're after, it's in something fixed, not fleeting, the Word of God. It's fixed. It's immovable. It's eternal. So now your joy can be fixed as well and not something that is fleeting. You see, it is in God's law, or His commands, or His rules, or His precepts, that He reveals His character and His wisdom. It is in His fixed precepts that we can find true and lasting joy. Now, I know the mind, especially in younger people, especially in today, and we are fallen and broken people. You see, the mind, when it hears law or rules or commands or precepts, we tend to think, oh, that's just boring and binding, right? Binding and boring. And yes, it's true. God's covenant is binding. However, it's out of God's precepts that He also reveals His benefits. How many knows God has great benefits, right? And when we understand that His benefits are also found in His precepts and His covenant law, what does it do? It encourages us to embrace His precepts. How many like to give your mom a big hug, especially on Mother's Day? Yeah. How many wish your mom was still here to give her a big hug? Yeah, my wife. So that's an embrace. And And when we understand this, it helps us to embrace. It encourages us to embrace his precepts as an expression of his wisdom, as an expression of his kindness. If you were to read two verses down from verse 8 here in chapter 19, verse 10, verse 10 reveals that when you and I are responsive to the revelation of God's precepts, it's compared to gold and honey. It's a good homework assignment. Go read Psalm 43 this week. But the psalmist said, your law, God, your rules, your commands, they're like gold. They're like honey. Anybody here like gold? Yeah. Huh? This gold here indicates that I'm married to the best mom in the world. Right? And I see some gold out there. So you do like gold. Do you value it? Do you buy things you don't value? What's he saying here? But the precepts of the Lord, they are valuable. They're like gold and honey. Anybody here like honey? Oh, I love my honey. Right? To have a cold, and in addition to that, my throat's dry. You know what I'd like right now is just a nice cup of tea with some honey in it to soothe the throat. Make me feel all better. Wouldn't that be great? Who likes the Honey Nut Cheerios bee, right? Flying around with his little honey thing there. This is all free. It's not in my notes. Any other honey lovers out there? You like to just take come on. Who's done this? You sneak out of the bedroom at night. You get down to the kitchen. My daughter's confessing right now. And you open the jar up or you squeeze into a big spoon and it's, and it's honey, it sticks. And that now you got to lick the rest of it off, right? Honey, it's sweet and it's delicious. And the psalmist here, even in a psalm of lament, Lord, your precepts are like gold and honey. Who wants to go have some honey right now? I should have passed out little packets of honey to everybody. Now that's verse 10. If you actually to go further back in verse 7, the verse that's before the verse on your screen, when you look at verse 7 along with verse 8, which we've already read, you see some other great benefits of his precepts. He says in verse 7, here's one, God's word revives. God's word revives us. See, he says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Wow. He said, God, your word is perfect, and it refreshes my soul. How many knows that water can be refreshing? Okay, but if you just sit there and look at this water, does that refresh you? Or do you have to take it in? Okay, if you want God's word to refresh you, you got to take it in. How many times do you hear me say, you got to get into the word, get the word into you. If you want God's word to do what only God's word can, you got to drink it like this. Right? God's word revives. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. And then, so what we see here is that his precepts have a restorative quality to them, bringing healing to the whole person. The second half of verse 7 says this. We learn this. God's word brings wisdom. Verse 7 adds, the statutes, that's another word for commands, law, precepts. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Now, you ever just, see, I like to observe people. When I'm out and about, the mall, sports event, where? Oh, I thought I heard another place to observe, church, right? And you know what I've observed? There's a lot of people out there that could use some wisdom, especially the young people. You don't have the wisdom to balance out all of your knowledge, right? And there's something great to be said for what God's word brings it. In fact, it's in God's word. He says, if you lack it, ask for it. Here's the problem. People that aren't wise aren't wise enough to know they lack it, right? So God, I need this. Now, we already read that God's word gives joy. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Do you trust him today? Amen. You see, what are we learning here? That you have to have persistence in your joy. Not stubbornness. You've got to persist to the right place. God, I'm going to keep going to the place. I'm going to keep going to this place of prayer. You know, I've noticed this amazing thing. My prayers last week, they were great for last week. But I can't depend on last week's prayer to get me through today. I had to get up at 5:30 this morning and pray for today again. I'm going to get up early again tomorrow morning, pray for that day. Because today's prayers, they were great in the day. Right? I got to keep going to the place. I got to keep going to the altar. I've got to keep going to the cross. I've got to persist, be persistent. Oh, it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? Amen. Well, Lord, okay, I'm sorry I missed today. Maybe I'll pray tomorrow. No. See, there's no, you wonder why your joy level is so low, because your persistence level is low. You wonder why you're running empty in terms of joy. Are you persisting in going to the place, the altar, where the psalmist says, to find God who is the source of all my joy? And are you persistent and getting God's word into you? Getting into God's word, getting God's word into you. How persistent. If you want joy, you've got to go after it, and you've got to persist. And you got to keep going to the right place, and you got to keep reading the right word. It's the word of God. His precepts are right. His precepts are perfect. Joy. Everybody says they want it. Everybody likes to have it, but they don't always like to persist to do what it takes to get it. And I believe, now today's Mother's Day and we're highlighting, I believe that every mother in this place, God wants you to have, we used to sing it, a joy that is unspeakable and full of his glory. Come on, who remembers that one? The joy unspeakable and full of glory, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Man, I just want to go back to church in the 70s sometime, right? Some of those wonderful old songs that we used to say. Can I ask you a few questions today? Do you trust the Lord and his word this morning that if you go after joy with persistence, you can always have it, no matter what? Whether you're writing from prison like Paul, whether you're lamenting in deep darkness and oppression like the author of Psalm 43, or whether you're in the difficult situation or circumstance that you're in, do you believe and do you trust the Lord and his word this morning that if you go after joy with persistence, you can always have it? Do you trust the Lord this morning that there is a place you can go and you can meet with him and you will find God himself, the source of all your joy? And do you trust the Lord this morning that his precepts are right and they give joy to the heart? Kay Warren says in her book, Choose Joy, she says this: joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all of the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything else or everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things. See, these words have always been true, but what makes these words from Kay Warren more powerful is that she wrote the book Choose Joy after her and her husband, Pastor Rick Warren's son, who had suffered from mental illness issues for a number of years, committed suicide. So she's writing these words out of much of a same or similar experience that the Apostle Paul wrote Philippians 4:4 from, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. She's writing these words much like the author of Psalm 43 wrote when he was in darkness and under oppression and feeling rejected. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things, end quote. You see, moms and everyone else here today, you will discover that joy will result in being thankful. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says, let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, this is joy from within, isn't it? Joy from within. Kate, if you'd come and if everyone would stand in this place today. Wonder if there's anyone here today. Maybe you have joy, but it's faded. It's a little dark. And the Lord says, I want to relight your joy. Or maybe you're here today and you would say, forget about it being dark. My joy tank is empty, or it's very, very low. And you're counting your level of joy is really coming out of your circumstances. No, what are we learning from Paul? What are we learning from the psalmist? What do we learn from Kay Warren? That your joy, it doesn't have to be suppressed under your circumstances. You see, the source of all joy is greater than your circumstances. Amen. It's God alone. Amen. It's God alone. That's why you go to Him. Amen. To lift you above that. But maybe you're here today and there's something going on in your life. And yes, this is for moms, but it's for everyone. Because the joy of the Lord is not limited to moms. The joy of the Lord's for all of us. Amen. But I wonder if you're here today, there's pain in your heart. Maybe caused by yourself, maybe caused by someone else. And maybe you're in a difficult situation. You're hurting today. And you're like, God, this joy that I've heard about today, there's not a lot of happiness in my life right now. But I've learned I can have access to something greater than happiness. And it's a genuine joy that comes from you. You know, when you're driving and you see the gauge on your car, the fuel gauge run low, what do? You stop into, if you're here, you call it a gas station. If you're other places around from there, you might call it a petrol station. But you go and you fill up. And I believe that's what the Lord is offering you today here. This is God's service station, petrol station. And you can come and fill up with the joy of the Lord in this place today. Maybe you're hurting, you miss your mom today. Maybe as a mother, as a father, a child could be wayward. Maybe you're struggling financially and there's not a lot of happiness, but He has joy for you today. Come on, right now, all over this place, just begin to step out. I believe that you might have come empty on joy, but you can leave in the joy of the Lord today. We still have time. It's still early. The kids have another 10 minutes downstairs all over this place. You want to be filled with the joy of the Lord. You need strength today. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on. He's got joy for you all in this place today. Don't leave without it. Don't leave without the joy that God offers. You're saying by coming, I'm going to persist. You're saying by coming, I understand there is a place that joy is found. It's the altar of God. By coming, you're saying joy is found in the precepts of the Lord. That's what brings joy to the heart. Come on, anyone else in this place today? Summer coming. Don't leave here low on joy. Don't leave this Mother's Day Sunday without the joy that the Lord is freely offering to you, freely wanting to give you. Maybe you're in a dark place. He wants to light the joy of the Lord in your life. As Katie sings, we sing together. Please continue to come. We're going to believe God is going to fill you with His joy today.
Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need You. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need You. So teach my song to rise to You. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on You. Jesus, You're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to You. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on You. Jesus, You're my hope and stay. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need You. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need You. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need You.
Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for the joy of the Lord this morning. I sense to do this in the first service. I'm going to do it in this service as well. If you're around these altars, please continue to pray. But how many of you, it could be you, but maybe it's someone else. You know someone in your life, they're hurting. There's deep pain in their heart, their soul, they're hurting. You know anyone that's hurting in your life? Just raise a hand. Yeah, I do too. Can we just cry out to God on their behalf? Lord, we thank You today for the joy that's found only in You, yet we know someone that doesn't know that joy, and they're hurting today. They're in a dark place. Lord, a raised hand just indicates we lift them before You. And Lord, who knows, you might use us to be a source of joy in their life, to take your word to them, let them know that you're praying, to be a voice of God's joy, a word of encouragement. We want everyone to know the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Please continue to pray if you're at the altar. But if you feel released, that's okay too. I want you to go in the joy of the Lord today. Moms, ladies, the women's ministry has a gift for you. Make sure you get that before you go on today. Happy Mother's Day. May the blessings and the favor of the Lord be upon you.